Hot 1027.
Hot Business on Hot 1027 is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, your partner with sector expertise and tailored solutions to help you grow with purpose and ambition. Standard Bank is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider.
Hot 1027.
Hot 1027, it's just after 6 o'clock and a very warm welcome for the next hour. Financial information that helps you make sense of our economy and build your wealth. I'm Jeremy Maggs. First the day in a snapshot, financials pulling the JSE lower in late afternoon trade. Oil and gold firmer today and the Rand continues to recover. Coming up on the program, a 60 billion Rand class action could shake South Africa's banking sector to its core. The Johannesburg deeds office shut down. It triggers a property market cash crunch. The true price of bread will go inside the cancelling of a grain testing contract. Why insects may be the next big agribusiness, and logistics company Grindrod reporting lower exports amid trade tension and global policy uncertainty. That's all to come. Let's start the show.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
Now, South Africa is facing a potential 60 billion rand legal reckoning, a massive class action lawsuit scheduled for early next year against Nedbank, Absa, Standard and First Rand. The claim launched by hundreds of homeowners whose properties were allegedly repossessed and auctioned for as little as 1,000 rand, depriving them of one of life's big investments. Now, the court must first approve the class, but if it goes ahead, the implications, I think, could reshape the banking sector and maybe even borrower rights in the country. Advocate Douglas Shaw, legal representative, is with us now. Advocate Shaw, a very warm welcome to you. Maybe just a very broad overview. Explain to me the background here and what's at stake.
Well, the background is that people started coming to me about 10 years ago to say people are selling our houses for 1,000 rand and 5,000, and I didn't believe it. And then as more came, I realized it was in fact the case, and something that doesn't happen in the rest of the world was happening here in South Africa, that people's houses were being sold for 90% off.
Can you explain the process then going forward and also the significance of class certification before this lawsuit moves forward?
Yes, South Africa, as with most countries in the world that have class actions, apart from Australia, requires for the class to be certified before it goes ahead. So before you can actually sue the banks and get a judgment against them, the court has to check that everything is fine with the actual class action, kind of has a chance of success, it's got the right representatives, it's got the contingency fee agreement is in place. It just isn't all in order, but it ends up being quite a huge process to prove all these things, although the idea is always that it's just a kind of administrative thing to make sure it's in order, but you end up having to prove basically your whole case.
And how credible is the estimation of that 60 billion rand? Could you give me a calculus?
Yeah, we basically worked out the statistics kept by various people on how many people's houses are sold in execution. We have data that the banks gave to the NCR, which then the NCR argued we couldn't use, and we had to fight for the right to actually use that data, which shows what they sell the properties for. And in thousands and thousands of cases, we can see that what everybody knows is happening and the bank denies is in fact factually the case. So an estimate would be 100,000 people. And we suspect that most people whose houses have sold would actually claim. Because once we've won the case, all you need to do is claim. It's like an insurance claim. And the independent third party who is a class action administrator then says, yes, this falls into this class, this person qualifies for 50,000 or 500,000 or 2 billion, whatever, based on the formula that we've put in our class action.
Is there irrefutable evidence, Advocate Shaw, that supports the claim that the bank sold the properties for far less than market value?
Yeah, I don't think that's the problem at all. I was even surprised that they disputed it, because we've got thousands of people, almost 100 affidavits to that effect, and their own data that they know we have to use against them. So that's not the problem. The problem's not proving that they did actually sell the houses. They will claim that they were completely within their rights to do so. That's what they'll claim. We're not worried at all about proving the facts. The only way we could fail is if the court decided, yes, but it was quite okay for the banks to do that. The banks claim it's the sheriff's fault, not theirs, which would make it a claim against the Ministry of Justice. We don't think so. Or they simply say, we did it, as they do say, this is what they say. They never come to court, these kind of programs and say something, but what they say when you ask them for a comment, they say, we did everything that we were supposed to do under the law at the time. That's their only defence, really.
What kind of recourse are you seeking?
That they pay back the difference between what they should have sold the property for, or something close, and the amount that they actually sold it for, or the bond, whichever is higher. Because obviously if the person had a 500,000 rand bond and they sold it for 600,000 and the property value was 1 million, then they wouldn't be due 400,000, they'd just be due the difference between the bond that they had and what the bank sold it for, multiplied by inflation, obviously, to the current day.
Without putting the cart before the horse, what are the potential financial and regulatory consequences for the banks if the plaintiffs win, particularly considering interest on those short sales?
Well, even if we get the full 60 billion, that is the income of our bank. It's not even the income of our banks for 1 year. So it would not destabilise the banks in this country. I don't think courts should be wary of that. It would certainly make the shares go down maybe for a little while, but it's not intrinsically, it's not going to make the banks fall apart, which is important, right? Because we don't want that to happen, really. But yeah, I mean, so it's a bit of a joke, but they could take out a loan, so to speak. You know, they could issue bonds for a few years so that 60 billion was paid over maybe 10 years. And then it would be nothing on their balance sheet. It wouldn't be even a blip because they're so rich.
And advocates, from a consumer or homeowner perspective, I assume a successful lawsuit could change the way in which repossessions are conducted in the future. And I assume that would also be part of your thinking or your strategy going forward.
Definitely. I mean, it's to stop these things happening, to make banks act in a different way. They plead in their papers that they always only sell as a last resort. So they've accepted what I always claim, that they're not selling as a last resort. They've at least addressing that they must. And if we can show it's part of this, that they must sell as a last resort and they have to pay money if they don't, then again, will definitely change the way that they act. And maybe we'll bring some legislation just to formalise the things that count as a last resort.
Do you think the National Credit Regulator or even the Human Rights Commission could come under scrutiny because they had a role, surely, in oversight or even enforcement?
It wasn't what we were hoping. We were hoping they were going to come in on our side. when the NCR and I were at one stage going to launch this case together. And curiously, when they decided they didn't want to in the end, and then they've come in on the bank side saying that we can't use their data, which was amazing. And it makes me think, and I think it probably is the case, that the NCR's got worse and they're not as consumer orientated. They're more pro-bank, maybe even captured. And we're very disappointed in the NCR's conduct, that they not only haven't come in as our friend, but they've come in basically as the enemy of the consumer in this country. With the human rights guys, they're on our side, but they've got a lot on their plate, and we talked to them and they're with us, they agree, but they just haven't come on as a friend of the court like we hoped they would. But they are pro, and they've definitely not done anything against the consumer.
And
so I don't think that their response, we could hold them legally liable. We wouldn't want to. They've done positive things for us in the past. The NCR, on the other hand, maybe.
I'm going to leave it there. Advocate Douglas Shaw, thank you very much indeed. I appreciate your time today.
Heart Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.